You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
November 12th, 2016. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the sunny Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me at RBN. Their website, of course, is republicbroadcasting.org. View the guest lineup at spingola.com for this program. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. Please also visit screeningsandyhook.net for my articles regarding Sandy Hook, psych drugs, and related topics. I hope that you will consider subscribing to spingolaspeaks.net, where one may listen to the audio files of my programs. And you can also do that at RBN. Another option is Woolley's blog, and that's Woolley's blog. blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, please consider donating to the network. You may do that by calling 800-724-2719 or simply visit republicbroadcasting.org and click donate. Or send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. Now, today's program is going to be basically all call-in. We do have a co-host guest today. My friend, Gareth Thomas, he's a delightful person, a personal friend. I appreciate his emails, his insights, his perceptions of current events. And we decided that we were going to just host a show and to talk about the elections and the aftermath. And I've placed a lot of links on the schedule page, so I hope that you will look at that schedule page. Again, that you can do that by going to spingola.com and click on radio schedule and then pick today's date. I think I've got about 7 or 8 links there. Very, very informative links. Now, we've all seen Hillary Clinton's numerous claims about Trump on the mainstream media and people who were not planning to vote at all and haven't voted in years felt like he was being victimized by that horrible woman, and so they went out and voted. They used the proverbial victim card. Apparently Trump owed billions of dollars to the bankers, and so they owned him. Gareth, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. How are you?
I'm good. What a week this has been, right?
Yeah, it sure has. A lot of interesting things going on. I've been following this for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, after a while, you feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster with this stuff. I held my nose vigorously and went and voted for Trump only because the alternative was a psychopath, and I was really afraid that, you know, she'd throw one of her fits and get us into World War III at the drop of a hat. But do I have any faith in Trump? No, absolutely not.
Exactly.
He's been bought and paid for, you know, a million times over.
Exactly.
I think that, you know, I was looking back at some of Trump's history. And back when he was studying out in Manhattan, his chief lawyer was Roy Cohen, a notorious homosexual and Zionist who defended a lot of mobsters back in the '60s. And so you know, that doesn't say much for Trump's bona fides.
Right.
I mean, when you have a criminal like that as your lawyer, and then, of course, looking at his current picks, well, looking at his own company, for example, I mean, you just go down the list, and his top, you know, CEOs for this, that, and everything else are all Zionist Jews. And, of course, he's, you know, his children and, you know, everything. I mean, it's all linked together. And then his speech to AIPAC was just horrendous.
Yes, yes. Probably. I have that linked on the website. You know what I'd like to do? He made an announcement 6 days before the election. And so I want to play an audio file to talk about, and then we'll talk about that. It's quite lengthy. We probably won't get to all of it, but let's have the producer play that. I mean, you know, why didn't the mainstream media say anything about this? I think it was kind of a stage play. I think that we were just bamboozled yet again. Okay, why don't we go ahead, Mr. Producer, and play that audio tape.
Folks, we are very honored today to have on Your Voice Radio David Friedman. He is the co-chairman of the Israeli Advisory Committee to Donald J. Trump. In 2016, July, Donald Trump announced the formation of the Israel Advisory Committee to analyze U.S. policy towards the State of Israel, enhance the unbreakable bond between the countries, ensure Israel's military superiority within the region, and research alternative solutions to the Israeli-Palestinian discord. The committee will make recommendations to Mr. Trump. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. We also have Dan Saltzman with us, who is one of our listeners and also is co-hosted on the show. And he has been very involved with Jewish outreach for the Trump campaign. So, Dan, take it away, my friend.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, David. David, I'd like to ask you a question to open up today's segment on the joint statement. There are 16 points, and they are excellent, pro-Israel, and terrific, and why Mr. Trump believes in this and why he is the only and clear choice, as we know, for pro-Israel and Jewish voters.
Well, let me start off, Dan, by explaining how we got to this point, and I think that'll give you some, at least some context for those points. You know, I've known Donald Trump for about 15 years and have worked closely with him, more in a business capacity than anything else. But over the course of our friendship, he has come to know that I have a, you know, deep and passionate, desire to support the State of Israel. When he became the presumptive nominee, he approached me, and what he said to me is, he said, David, I want to be a very pro-Israel candidate. I want to be the most pro-Israel candidate that this nation has seen, and I want you to help me do that because you have a more detailed and comprehensive view of Israel in the Middle East. And so that was my mandate to start with. It was an instruction from Donald Trump to help design a policy that was as pro-Israel as possible. And, you know, I think if you look not only at, you know, Mr. Trump's comments, and if you look at the 16-point platform that we put out, but I think if you start off by looking at the Republican platform that was adopted by the Republican Party over the summer, what you see is the single most pro-Israel platform of either party in the history of this country. And we're all very proud of that, because none of that would have gotten done without the support of Mr. Trump. And I can tell you that when that plank of the platform was passed over the summer, it was passed unanimously by the platform committee, and it was the only plank of the platform that caused the Republican delegate members, the delegate committee, to get up and clap. They gave a standing ovation to the platform, and in fact, I saw tears in the eyes of many of the delegate members. So The point I want to make is, you know, not only is Donald Trump a pro-Israel candidate, I think the most pro-Israel candidate in the history, as I said, of either party, but he has brought along the party, so that it's not just the commitment of an individual, it's the commitment of an entire political party to support the state of Israel in ways that, frankly, Israel has never seen support from this country before.
That's fantastic, and I did see the platform from the GOP platform on Israel. It was absolutely fantastic, and congratulations and mazel tov on your work on that, and Mr. Trump's and Jason Greenblatt's and also Alan Clements of South Carolina to get that through. That was absolutely fantastic, and the entire committee, the standing ovation, very, very positively emotional, uplifting, and inspirational. Can you talk about some specifics on the platform, like moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, also security and intelligence sharing, and deepening the bond between America and Israel, and why our friendship, partnership, and bond is so tight, as deeply rooted in biblical values?
Sure. I think everything you said is absolutely true, and I'm happy to elaborate on it. First of all, the state of Israel is, as I think many people recognize, it's really an oasis of Judeo-Christian values in a part of the world which has repudiated those values, not only in a philosophical sense, but, you know, if you look at the destruction of the Christian communities throughout the Muslim world. I mean, it is literally a physical obstruction, the physical obliteration by the radical Islamists of Christian people and of Christian religious sites. Israel is, as I said, it's the only place in the Middle East which shares our values. I've often said that if you are an Arab, or if you're a Muslim living in the Middle East and you want superior health care, superior education, if you want superior economic opportunity, if you happen to be a woman, if you happen to be homosexual, there's only one place for you to live, and that's in the state of Israel, because that's the only place in the entire Middle East that will respect your human rights. And so that is at the core of the bond between the United States and Israel. Shared values, I think, are really what causes the relationship to be so strong. And, of course, both nations are rooted in Judeo-Christian values, which are, unfortunately, being rejected, by the far left in our country and throughout the world. Beyond that, on more specific level, what the Trump relationship, what a Trump administration relationship with Israel will look like is going to be very different than an Obama administration. I think at the very basic level, you're not going to see any daylight between America and Israel. And that's incredibly important, because when the enemies of the United States and Israel see our two nations at odds, when they see public discord, it incentivizes and immobilizes our enemies to act out against both countries. And so the first most basic point is no daylight. If there are differences between America and Israel, and we certainly hope they don't occur, but if there are differences, they will be dealt with privately, as would befit two close friends. That's in contrast to President Obama. You know, there was so much daylight between America and Israel over the past 8 years. You really need sunglasses to observe the relationship. It was something that I hope we don't see again in our lifetimes. So, sure, Trump administration would first and foremost deal with Israel in a totally different way, with no public discord. The Trump administration is of the firm belief that Jerusalem is the eternal and indivisible capital of the state of Israel and of the Jewish people. And it will move the embassy of the United States to the city of Jerusalem. Now, as you know, and as I'm sure many of your listeners know, other presidents have said that, and since 1995, it has been the law of this country, the law of the United States, that the embassy of the United States should be moved to Jerusalem. But there has been a carve-out that has permitted the State Department to now delay that move for more than 21 years. I think when you look at Mr. Trump's leadership skills, what you see is someone who, in contrast to past presidents, is not going to kowtow to lifelong State Department employees who have never been friends of Israel. He is the only candidate that I can think of in a generation who has the personal courage to stand up to the State Department and to reject what they've been doing now for, as I said, over 21 years, and refuse to obey a mandate from Congress to move the embassy. So although other presidents have said it, I think with the Trump administration, you can bank on the embassy being moved to Jerusalem and Jerusalem being recognized as the indivisible capital of the State of Israel. Other points that I think are going to distinguish a Trump administration from what we've seen in the past. The highest level of military and strategic and technological cooperation. You know, the MOU that was entered into between Obama and Netanyahu was a good step. You know, it's a lot of money over 10 years. But if you look at it and you adjust it for inflation and you adjust it for all the things that are now thrown into it, including missile defense, it's really not more money. I'm not advocating here for more or less money, but what I do think is that people should not get too carried away with the quality of that deal that Obama made. It's really, when you consider all the adjustments, not a significant improvement. And on top of that, what I thought was really insulting was Obama requiring Israel to agree that they will never ask for any additional aid. Now, that's just ridiculous. I mean, it's a 10-year deal. Nobody knows over the next 10 years what's likely to happen. No one knows what challenges could face Israel or face the United States or face the two countries together. To make that commitment
even during,
in advance,
even during war, I believe that
yes, there's no exception. There's no exception to that commitment by Israel. It's insulting. I mean, forgetting about the fact that it's counterintuitive and potentially counterproductive, it's just insulting to say you have no right to come back and ask for anything. It's not something that you do to an ally. One of the things the platform says, which I think is absolutely different, absolutely different from every prior presidential candidate or president. The platform rejects the notion that Israel is an occupier with regard to Judea and Samaria. No other president or presidential candidate has ever said that. And that's important because when the Israelis and the Palestinians sit down, if they ever do, if they're able to find common ground, it has to be on the basis that both sides have competing rights to this land and that somehow those rights are going to be compromised in a way that respects the mutual claims to sovereignty. What the Obama administration and, frankly, the Bush administration as well have said in the past is that this land is held by Israel against international law. Now, you know, I'm a lawyer. I've looked at this issue, as have many others. That's far from certain. I mean, let's be clear about this. The West Bank was captured by Israel from Jordan in a defensive war, and the Jordanians have renounced any claim to that land. So the idea that somehow Israel is occupying land from a prior nation when the prior nation doesn't want it back, I think is a terrible misstatement of the law. And for some reason, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and others have all clung to this erroneous.
Wow. Okay, we're going to be right back. I think we've heard enough of this guy. Be right back in 3 minutes. All right, welcome back. I think we probably heard enough from Mr. Friedman, David Friedman. He is the co-chairman of the Trump Israel Advisory Committee. Who heard of that before the election? He put this information out. Trump put this information out 6 days before with his 16 points of what he was going to do for Israel. I think a lot of us woke up very surprised on Wednesday morning, or if we stayed up on Tuesday night to listen or to watch the happenings, the supposed election. Anyway, we're in a lot of trouble, people. The last statements that that Friedman made about going into Palestine and taking this country that nobody wanted. That is a bunch of baloney. The people who call themselves Jews have no connection whatsoever to Palestine. They invaded a populated country, took over 500 established cities and towns, killed thousands, millions of people, starved and withheld water from the refugees who were put into a very, very small area and are in a desperate situation. Gareth, your thoughts?
I picked a couple of things out of his many false statements, and one thing I thought was quite humorous was the fact when he said that the Republicans, I believe he said it was a Republican, stood up and clapped and cheered, and some even had tears in their eyes. And the reason they had tears in their eyes is because it's, oh boy, the money will still keep flowing into our pockets. And the other comment that he made is that he pulled the Judeo-Christian card.
Yes.
And if anyone knows anything about Zionists or Jews, they hate Christians. And the
exactly.
fact that this whole notion about where he comes out and says, well, you see that they're killing all of these Christians. That's exactly what they want. That's exactly what they want. That's why they've been fostering the United States to get involved in all these wars in the Mideast, to kill as many of these people. And then they wonder why the jihadis or ISIS and all these other factions are killing Christians. Well, basically they're doing the Zionist work for them. So they can supposedly keep their hands clean.
Right. Well, ISIS was created by the Mossad and the CIA as an excuse for the military to go in there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing that we need to ask ourselves, is the United States a sovereign state? Now, the definition of a sovereign state is that which administers its own government, is not dependent upon or subject to another power. Now, can we truly say that about the United States? Is it a sovereign state? And how many years hasn't it been a sovereign state? I would have to say probably back maybe to the mid-late 19th century.
Yeah, I have it pinpointed around before Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson was certainly a sellout, and I get into a lot of trouble by saying that. But he had a deal worked out with the Rothschilds through the State Department early on. People just, you know, accept all these myths as gospel. And, you know, that term, Judeo-Christian, that was not a term until after World War II. And it was designed to mix the people who call themselves Jews to mix those people with the United States so we would have some sort of commonality with them and so that the reparations so that we would help them get those reparations that they certainly did not warrant. So let's take some callers. I know there are a lot of people out there that have some comments about all the, I mean, there's been Soros has probably been funding all of this violence. So feel free to call in.
If I could jump in and just make one last.
We'll take the callers after this quick 3-minute break, and Gareth, you'll finish your statements. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. This is Deanna, and our co-host today is Gareth Thomas. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Oh, that's okay. Not a problem. Just real quick, I think it's somewhat instructive that three, possibly four, presidents who tried to stand up to Jewish encroachment into the finances of the United States were all assassinated. I'm not sure about Lincoln, but Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy were all assassinated because they attempted to thwart, as I said, the Jewish encroachment into the United States financial system.
Yes, indeed. Lincoln, probably not. There was some other reasons, but wow. I just can't believe some of these. I've always said that Trump would never get anywhere in Manhattan real estate without being friendly with the Jews. But I never really did any research on his background. I mean, people are busy doing other things. We're feeding our families. We're living our lives. We're, doing other things. And meanwhile, my gosh, we have really been... a lot of us have been fooled, and as I say, they certainly did use the victim card. Anyway, if you want to call in and talk about anything regarding the elections, what's going on with the violence, and when you consider the violence, could they be doing this violence so that they can bring in more military, so that they can be around to stop real protest against what is protest against the government in general, against Trump, against Hillary, against the whole bunch of criminals. Anyway, the telephone number is 800-313-9443. I watched, you sent a video earlier which talked about the multiculturalism, and you mentioned ISIS. And, I mean, you have to look at who's behind the multiculturalism. Who's behind all these refugees? Who is behind people leaving their countries? People don't want to leave their countries and go elsewhere unless those countries are bombed to smithereens. I mean, Iraq was a beautiful country, and it was until the first invasion under George H.W. Bush. It was a great country, and people were the citizens of those countries were able to benefit from the resources. It's terrible what has happened. The slaughter happened. Go ahead.
No, I think as we talked before a couple weeks back, the only bulwark that kept that flow from coming to Europe was Libya. And Libya was, every country has its problems, but Muammar Gaddafi really, really had that country stabilized. They had their own currency. They had, they had a lot of benefits for their people that were free. Including education and even to the point of providing farmers with cattle and seed that were free if they wanted to start a farm. So what does the United States do at the behest of Israel? They go in there and they bomb it back into the Stone Age, kill Gaddafi, and then this massive influx of so-called refugees start pouring into Europe. And that's all planned. I mean, that wasn't done. This didn't happen by accident. That was a definite plan to have Europe overrun by foreigners to basically cut out the or get rid of the white population. And it's absolutely disgraceful what has happened.
Right. Well, even World War II, we're talking about 50 million people who were killed. And we don't hear about those 50 million, but we do hear a 6 million number that cannot be proven.
That's an interesting point from the standpoint that if you look at population statistics from 1933 to 1946, the Jewish population of Europe actually went up by a few thousand points.
Exactly.
2,000. So if the Germans actually murdered 6 million or even 1,500,000, that number would have gone down, you would think, a little bit, but it didn't. It went up. And these are just the Jews that were in territories controlled by the National Socialist Government of Germany. That excluded all Jews everywhere in the world. We're just talking now about the Jews who were in areas controlled by National Socialist Germany. Population went up.
Right. And there were never 6 million under German jurisdiction at all, ever.
No, there wasn't. No, there wasn't. No, absolutely not. But they keep banging the drums about, I'm sick of hearing about the Holocaust. You know, Holocaustianity and everything else. It's constantly pounding into people's heads about, remember the Holocaust, remember the Holocaust. Films put out by Spielberg and, he's put out, I think, 3 or 4 of these so-called blockbusters that are nothing but lies and disinformation and everything else. And I throw up my hands because I can't believe that people are so dumbed down and ignorant that they just go in there and just readily accept this stuff as the truth. Well, it must be the truth, otherwise they wouldn't say that. Well, all you have to do is go on the internet and do a little research. You can find this stuff out for yourself. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure it out. So,
right.
Yeah, but basically what you said is true. Every United States and the majority of the, in fact, most people in the world have been bamboozled and lied to by Israel for so long that they don't even question anything anymore. It's just accepted as fact.
Right. If you hear something enough, then you just kind of accept it as a fact. And also, there's something called framing the debate. If you get your information out first, people will remember the first things they hear about something, about an event, rather than something that they learn later. They just lock in to those first statements made. And it's really kind of a shame. Remember, listeners, if you'd like to call in, ask questions, or just tell us how you feel about the elections, about what has happened. Within 24 hours, really, are we really supposed to believe that within 24 hours that people could go out and become organized with all these great big signs? So give us your thoughts. The telephone number is 800-313-9443. It's just, there are PR companies that are hired by the Pentagon. They've hired people to make false flag films. They've hired PR companies to distribute a PR company to distribute flags in Iraq, American flags in Iraq. I mean, seriously, American flags in Iraq, so that all these people, they showed on the mainstream media, all of these Iraqis waving the American flag as if they were happy that we'd come and bomb them to smithereens. I mean, it's just amazing what people believe and accept just because they see it on TV. And when you think about the function of TV, it's programming. People are being programmed. People turn off their critical thinking and they just accept all this in. But when you're reading something, you're engaged. You're not just being brainwashed. You're actually engaged in what you're doing. Okay. Andrea.
Yep. Yes.
We have Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea, welcome.
Yes. I was just fired for at work for talking about 9/11, about that day where they caught the dancing Israelis on top of the van, and it's supposed that they were filming before the planes ever crashed into 9/11. And this is what I was fired for. That I also mentioned that they also caught a truck going into the tunnel full of bombs, and it was being driven by Israelis. And they sent both of these, all these people back home without charging them with anything. That Larry Silverman, the man that bought the...
Silverstein?
Bought the World Trade Center just a month or so before, and it was full of asbestos. He spent $3.22 billion and invested it for $4.55 billion and made a profit when it went down. So they fired me for being an anti-Semite. But the
you're kidding.
No. But the thing after that was I went ahead and called because I caught your show about, and I had heard this before, about the no-hide laws. So I was so angry the next day that I called Imhoff in Oklahoma City and talked to their representatives there, and as well as Lankford and Steve Russell, because they can repeal laws if they have any motive or feeling that, you know, they're not good anymore. So that was my request, that they would look into those laws and repeal them. Then I went ahead the next day and called Washington to talk to those representatives. But I think, you know, maybe if, because that is a scary law, to say the least, and that it's even a law, and that they passed it, even if it was secret and there were only four people there, how dare them, and that our Congress hasn't bothered to do anything about it. I think if everybody listening, hopefully there's thousands and thousands of people out there listening that haven't bothered to call in, will call the representatives and make them aware of this outrageously awful law, because Oklahoma is a Bible Belt state, and I think if more people knew that this law existed, I know that when I called Oklahoma with Imhoff, their representative said, oh, there's no such law as that.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah, that's the scary part. So, I mean, I think we just now... that things have changed just a tiny bit, I hope. I think we might have gotten out of this hell on earth, maybe with a new president. But you're scaring me, and I don't think we've come very far. But anyhow, we can't. We've got to at least try.
Gareth?
Yeah, she was talking about 9/11. Thought just occurred to me regarding that, just to give you an example of how the lamestream media twists everything. They ran a clip just after 9/11, which supposedly showed Palestinians and Iraq cheering.
Right.
Well, as to try to say, you know, we're really glad, basically saying, yeah, we did this and we're really happy about it. However, as it turns out, what that really was a demonstration that was shot in a whole different context. They were celebrating some kind of festival or something like that. It had nothing to do with 9/11 whatsoever. But they put that clip in there to make it look like the Palestinians or Iraqis were cheering the fact that 9/11 happened.
Right. Andrea,
I'm
so
really,
sorry.
This is not surprising, though, that the listener got I think that's happened more often than not, which is extremely unfortunate. I hope she's able to come to some resolution with that situation, because, you know, this needs to stop somehow. But unfortunately, I think with Trump now in there with his plan, I'm afraid things are going to get worse. That's just my own personal perspective.
Oh, much worse, I think. Yes.
Yeah, it's...
That Israel has 200 to 400 nuclear bombs in Dimona that they don't allow inspections of any kind, that we have the Glenn Act and the Symington Amendment, that we're not supposed to send any money to any country that doesn't allow inspections of their nuclear weapons, and that they've tried to sell their nuclear weapons to South Africa, you would think, and I'm not sure that Trump is aware of this, that, and that, of course, I'm a feeling that they're, if they did find out, or maybe he's not aware, maybe he would stop this gigantic $50 billion flow to Israel, which they're already kicking up a fuss and saying they need to get more than $50 billion. It's like, hold it. We're not even supposed to supply you. So, anyway, that's my comment.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you'll be able to talk to your former employer. I think it's really terrible. I mean, there are some states that you cannot be fired, like California. You cannot be fired for your political views, no matter what. But I'm not sure about the laws in Oklahoma. But
yeah, they can fire you for anything.
Wow, I'm so sorry. Yes, the no hide laws were passed. They were passed in 1991, but all you hear about in the mainstream media is, oh, they're going to pass Sharia law. So that's just not true. So thank you so much for your phone call, Andrea.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take Dave in Nevada. Dave in Nevada? No?
Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm one of those people that I don't believe that I actually know who Donald Trump is or have him figured out.
Okay, Dave, hold on. We're going to a quick 3-minute break.
Okay.
And then we'll get right back. Okay, be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our co-host today is Gareth Thomas, a good friend, and just a very perceptive gentleman. And we were talking with Dave in Nevada.
To continue on what I was saying is that I don't feel like I really have a grasp on Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump, and I'm glad he won. But I, at the same time, I'm not assuming that I actually know who he is, because I don't feel like I do. But I do question this notion that Donald Trump is a Christian. I have some doubts about that. First of all, because if you were a Christian, if you were a devout Christian, you would have a very difficult time marrying off one of your daughters to a Jew, and the Jew that she was married to forces her to convert over to Judaism. Now, to me, if I was a devout Christian, I would have a very hard time with that.
I think a lot of times children do what they want. I mean, they don't necessarily abide by what their parents would like to have them do. And if they're adults, then you can't make make decisions for your children. However, I do have on my schedule page today, if you want to know who Donald Trump is, if you'll visit Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left, choose the right year and month, and there are probably 7 to 8 links. And if you go through all those links, you are going to know exactly what Donald Trump is. And I've heard him referred to as the Jewish Messiah, because he will do more for Israel than any other president has done previously.
Right. Well, the reason why I'm bringing up that marriage issue is because let's say a Christian male wanted to marry a Jewish female, there's very few Jews that would actually convert over to Christianity to marry that person. It's always the other way around.
Okay.
That's why I'm bringing up that issue.
Okay.
That's why I'm bringing up. It's very one-sided.
Sure.
Anyways,
right. That has to do with one couple.
And then also is that, yeah. And then also, if Donald Trump if he's truly a Christian person, I'm not saying you have to go to church, but how often does Donald Trump actually go to church? Like, what actually does he do that's actually religious?
I don't know. I think that after you look at all of these links that I have, you will know exactly what he is. And he's not a Christian. He's a monster, okay? We voted for a monster.
I'll do that. But what I've come to realize in general is actually not so much about Donald Trump or Zionism, in general, is that from my research into the study of the founding of this country and the history of this country has always been Jewish since the beginning. It's always been influenced by Jews. And hold on. The American Revolution was financed by the Rothschilds. You have to think about that, and you have to ask yourself why.
Sure. Yep.
And you have to ask yourself why.
Yes, I would agree with you in that. Okay. Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate your phone call. All righty. All right, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back, and we'll take some more calls at 800-313-9443. Co-host today is Gareth Thomas. Did you have some comments you'd like to make about what has been said or what they said?
you know, and I think most people don't have the time to sit down and do any in-depth research, and that's understandable. Like you said earlier, you know, they've got lives to live, jobs to go to, families to take care of, and whatnot. But the sad part about it is that I think a lot of people latch on looking for an good alt media and will come upon something that sounds good, but in reality is just taking them down blind alleys. I would venture to say that 99% of what passes for truthers or alt media are shills and half-truthers. I mean, there's a fellow, I believe he's from Canada, and he's got a website called Digger for Truth.
Yes.
On his site, it's a WordPress site. It's called Digger for Truth. And on that site, he has one link that's called Shills and Half-Truthers. If you get on that list, you will see just tons of people who pass for truth tellers, but in reality are just, you know, they're just, even Ron Paul, Noam Chomsky, William Cooper, of course he's passed away now, Red Eyes Creations, Michael Savage, Luke Rogowski, Jordan Maxwell, I mean, Jeff Rentz, Gordon Duff, Henry Maykow, I mean, and of course the top of all of them is Alex Jones. And, I mean, these people, they will never touch the J word, ever. And so in doing research, you really have to spend time going down the rabbit hole to find the truth. It takes a long time. It's taken me years to find most of this stuff, and I know it has you too. I mean, you've been
working
on it. You've been working on it for 20 years or more, maybe 30 years. And
not really. I really haven't been. I got involved with the truth movement before there was a truth movement. But we all grow up so indoctrinated in the government schools that it takes such a long time to figure it out. We do have another caller, but thanks for bringing up Digger. He's a terrific gentleman. We have Jeff in Idaho, and Jeff, we will be able to hear you.
Hey, Deanna, this is Jeff from Idaho. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, your lead in is perfect.
You always ask that.
I'm looking for your wisdom right now. You know, in 2010 and 2011 when I was helping you and stuff, and I stopped at page 113 in that first book, and I promised I'd finish all the books in sequence after I had time, which is coming up in just a little while probably. And then I helped Bill Still, and then I helped Clint run for his 2012 presidential run. Well, since that 2012 run, I've been helping Dr. Park or calling in about every week since July 27, 2014. So I've been kind of helping him try and get his chloramine policy in and try and get him run for the Democratic nomination last year to knock Hillary out, to get this $2.5 billion that have been poisoned by the UN since 1945. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just worked out to where, Dr. Parker became a advisor a little bit to Donald Trump. And so now, I've spent the past 6 months burying Hillary with her Dr. Clark parasites in her brain, and all these other things, and like as much as possible. So my question to you is real important because I got to talk to him tomorrow about it. Since I haven't had a chance to I read a little bit out of book three about FDR to my mom, from off of like an electric, like one of your ebooks, but she really loved it. But I got to ask you this question: in book two or three, do you have anything about the Jewish autonomous oblast anywhere in those books that I can kind of research tonight?
That would be in book three.
It would be. Okay. Yeah, any front, middle, back? Never mind. All right. That's fine. No.
The books are indexed. Yeah. And they're,
okay,
you know.
I just need to find a page tomorrow to reference if I call in tomorrow. Because the scenario it comes down to is that
if you have an ebook, best thing to do is just do a search.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I probably have it on Kindle, I think.
Okay.
More than likely.
Right. Kindle has a great search engine.
All right. Well, here's my scenario. I want to basically try and the whole issue has been about exposing 9/11 and all the stuff with these things, and I'm just going to go along with what he's given me the general impression of what his goal was, and all I've done is support him. Now, I don't trust Donald as far as I can throw him, but I trust what Dr. Parker's been trying to do on RBN. And just like your guest was just saying, it's very hard to find a truth location that is pretty accurate, and this is why I've been helping RBN for the longest amount of time. And, your first interview with Michael Collins Piper, and you drew me to you, and then I said, okay, all right, I'm going to give the materials that I can for you and then do all this other stuff. So now we've kind of come down to this, oh, my God, moment, as of Tuesday.
Believe I rejected your box of books.
I know. You already had them all. So here's the thing.
There's some that I wouldn't have read.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're more discerning than I am, Deanna, because you spent so much time researching this. And I highly respect all the stuff you've done. So the question I've got is, I'm going to go through that book, but in the next 2 or 3 months, there's a lot of things that are going on, because the current government right now is not essentially the constitutional government from, 1776.
We don't have a government anymore. We have a corporatocracy.
We have
a corporation, and everybody, all of the people that are supposed to be representing the people are representing the corporations. They are, they don't give a darn about the individuals. They just want to make money off of our bodies, off of our lives. They don't care who they slaughter. They don't care who they bomb. They don't care.
Yeah. Here's the thing is, I've gotten Dr. Parker to read Clint's first book, and Clint's goes into the details from a spiritual standpoint and a legal standpoint, where you go into the historiography and with so many footnotes and all that other stuff. So I'm just trying to tie all this stuff together in the next while the transition's going on. Because, their goal was to try and, get, their goal really was to get Hillary in, you know, to basically
their goal right. was to dupe us to right. think that we all needed to go out and vote for Trump because Hillary was such a monster and she did all of these smear campaigns on him and she played that we accepted the victim card. Oh gosh, look, he's being so nice. He's not saying what a pedophile her husband is. He's not saying that she's a lesbian who's had several abortions and could care less about anybody. No, we bought into this victimization of Trump. He is worse, worse than she is.
Right, I know. We've got a Hegelian dialect that we couldn't get away from. I understand that exact point. And it's the choice between bad and worse. And I just had to go with what I thought I could do to get this 2.5 billion poisoning thing out to more worldwide, issue-wise, just like what you're doing with your history books. So mm-hmm. I think you've kind of answered my question without answering it
yeah,
with
I
the dialogue.
Yeah, I went on a little rant here, but seriously.
But I love you for that. You know that.
But
so,
seriously, if you go through all the links that I have for today.
Yeah.
He is owned. He is much more owned than Hillary.
Right.
Much more owned. I mean, they're right. both pieces of trash. Okay?
Right.
They both work for the same evil people.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go, to that link and I'm gonna go do my research tonight so I can be prepared for tomorrow. But hey,
okay.
continue all your good work, you know?
Oh,
and don't stop. Alright?
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Gareth, do you have any questions? Any problems? We all have problems. Yeah, we got a big problem.
Yeah, I got problem.
Yeah, we got a big problem. Starts with a J.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I really don't have anything to add to that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take David in California.
We don't have a government anymore. We have a corporatocracy.
Right. Okay. Dave, you got to turn your radio off, or turn it down.
Representing the people are representing the corporations.
Dave?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Hello. I was just hearing the radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to the radio and it screwed me up.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was still listening to you and Jeff. Which who's brilliant. By the way, I was just hearing the caller before Jeff. I forgot his name, but you know, I haven't been listening to Jeff Rentz lately, but come on, I mean that guy was totally on Jay and Zionist situation for years. Unless he backed off, got a call or something. So it's just I know Alex tiptoes around that. When he gets Steve Pachinik on, he might a Jewish guy himself might say things going towards Israel, but yeah, Alex doesn't say much. RBN's the best station I know, that will,
thank you.
You're one of them, and Robert. But I didn't hear the beginning of the show, but I'm still glad Trump got elected, but I guess, maybe I'm naive. I know he was all jaded up being in, New York City, so I wasn't naive to that, but maybe naive to the detail, to the, how far, and I do know he talked bad about Iran, so I thought I was really worried about him doing the rest of the Greater Israel Project for them.
Sure. He started talking about ISIS, I knew that he was bought and paid for, because ISIS was created by the Mossad and the CIA, just as Al Qaeda was.
Yeah, so I'm aware of that.
Yeah, so.
But I just commented on that. I never heard Jeff Rentz compromise on that. As a matter of fact, he was one of the most vehement ones that I knew of going after that subject. Always. Holocaust, anything. Anywhere. He never withheld. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him for a few years. I haven't been on the show and, listening for over a year, so I don't know what he's doing now.
Sure. Well, okay. Just keep listening to RBN.
Yes, I always do. That's the main thing.
Anyway, check out the links on the schedule page and
okay. I'll do that.
We're in deep trouble. Thanks for your phone call, Dave. Okay. All righty. Our telephone number, 800 313 9443. Tell us what you think about all the violence in the streets. I mean, it was just amazing. The next day when we saw downtown Chicago, they were marching on downtown Chicago, and they had all these signs and things, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's just amazing that they would be all organized like that. And I know that through social media that you can send out a tweet or whatever and get a lot of people involved, but I understand that that they actually, Craigslist actually put out a call for people to come and participate, not really saying what it was that they were going to participate in. But when you see a crowd of people that seem to be very well organized with a lot of signs, you have to question, well, where did they get all the signs? And did they really have time to make them? And some of the people that were marching, gosh, they were very, very young and really hateful. We saw some people were beaten up. I mean, literally just beaten. I'm surprised that somebody wasn't killed, particularly here in Chicago, the kill capital of the country. I'm surprised that people were not killed. So, oh, well, it's the weekend. Maybe they'll, you know, the weekend's always the worst. So anyway, Garris.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's okay. I was just gonna, you know, the violence. I'm really not sure how to take that. It's probably a Soros funded, but it's so off the wall and so, I'm not sure what it's about. Is it really against Trump? Is it really, I think it's just a total distraction from something, and I haven't really figured it out yet.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to wait and see how this whole thing shells out, because, you know, you can look at the situation, all this rioting and stuff, from a variety of different ways, from a variety of different angles, and still not really come to any solid conclusion of what it really means and what it's all about. So I really don't have a whole lot to say about that other than that it's a bit confusing. I don't know, maybe you have a better handle on it than I do.
Well, to me, whenever you have a lot of rioting, then you have to have police power. And
you have
police
to have
power, you have to have the police come in. It's like if you're going to have any kind of a problem in the Middle East. If you have, that ISIS group, they're really making a lot of trouble. So we better go over and bomb some people and maybe we'll, you know, bomb an ISIS guy. So if you have a riot here, you have to send in that same kind of power. You're not going to bomb people, but you've got this force come in, a force to control the people. And when you're controlling one group, then you kind of overreach and you control a lot more people. So I think that it is being used to say, oh, we've got to have more police, we've got to have more guns, we've got to have more of those big armored cars to go into the neighborhoods. We need to take control here so people won't get hurt.
That's certainly one way of looking at it. It's going to be interesting to see, though, what is actually done. You know, it seems like there's been a lot of demonstrations over the past few years that you have to watch which side suffers the most damage. Which ones are allowed to, I think it was St. Louis. Was it St. Louis where
Ferguson?
There was so much,
Ferguson?
Yeah, or Jefferson, yeah, where there was so much rioting and everything, was the mayor told the police to stand down, allow them to.
Right, because Soros paid for that.
Yeah, I know he did. And in fact, he's behind the Black Lives Matter movement, which I'm sure everybody knows about. And I'm sure he's he's encouraging or funding most of these agitators. It reminds me of what was going on back in the 60s, with all those riots and everything. It was, you know, basically promoted by the SDS, who were probably funded by the CIA, Weather Underground, which was another subversive movement, also funded by probably the government, CIA again. And yeah, these things don't come about by themselves. They're usually instigated by people behind the scenes somewhere for some political reason of their own.
Right.
Some of it you can tell, some of it you can't.
Somebody mentioned the word Waco in the chat room. And that's another situation too, where they actually wanted the land that the compound was sitting on. And so, I mean, they just went in, and the obedience-trained FBI went in and killed women and children. And if they'll do it, well, yeah, they do it in this country. If they'll do it in other countries, kill women and children, they're going to do it in this country, too. And you have enough obedience-trained people who are willing to shoot strangers for no reason.
Now that you mention Waco, there's something, a little factoid, which I'm not sure a lot of people know about. But Lon Hurucci, the sharpshooter who murdered six people.
Hold that thought, we're going to, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Be right back in 3 minutes. Gareth, my co-host today, and you were talking about a sharpshooter.
Your caller had mentioned, or someone had mentioned, Waco.
Waco, yeah. And, okay, in the chat room.
The sharpshooter, FBI sharpshooter by the name of Lon Hurucci, who murdered Vicki Weaver,
was also
a sharpshooter as well. And evidently had his eye glued on a couple of people. I can't recall whether it was the one that shot one of the people or not, but there's various theories on whether he did or not, but I thought it was interesting that he was at both places.
Yeah, that's kind of a coincidence, isn't it? Wow. Okay, we have another caller, Ed in Utah. Ed, welcome. Ed, you there?
Yeah, Deanna?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Good to talk to you. Deanna, I want to bring up our mutual late friend, the Michael Collins Piper.
Yes.
And... yes, you know, if he could be here now, somebody brought his name up already. I had years ago read his article concerning Don Trump, and I have some mixed feelings today, I must say, concerning the situation, because I'm looking at it from my standpoint, the total picture, the total evidence to date. But Michael Collins Piper exposed the fact that Resorts International, the big company of Donald Trump, was initially the Mary Carter Paint Company, which was a wholly owned subsidiary of the CIA. And but what I'm predicating any hope I have today concerning Mr. Trump, Deanna, is the fact, the possibility of his enemies. Look who they are. George Soros, a Hungarian-born Jew. A lot of people rail against Soros, but they don't bring up his origins. Is he the one behind all these uprisings and what have you, winter breaking going on in Portland? I do believe so. And I think a lot of people have already pointed the finger at him. So,
but is it,
where
but,
I'm going...
But you have to say, well, why is he doing it? Is that going to be
right.
helpful to... You have to ask why. It isn't necessarily that they're against Trump. as that they have to have something to protest to create a reason for more military, more police power.
That's a fear I have, and you eloquently bring up that possibility. But let's look at the fact also, Deanna, last December he was booed off the stage, and the media downplayed it, booed off the stage by the Republican Jewish Congress. And when you look at the fact that he was called briefly by the big media last fall, a year ago fall, for bringing up the dancing Middle Easterners, as he put it. Now, he had the identification wrong, but he was talking about these dancing Middle Easterners and what have you. People, they said, hold the phone, that's getting too close to the truth here. And they even went so far as to calling him a truther. Well,
did you stop to think that maybe he was leaving these little trails of bread for us to follow so that we would follow along? I'm going to read some of his 16 points about what he thinks of Israel and what he plans to do for Israel. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just...
Well, I do want to hear it. I'm trying to take the total picture. I'm also prepared for the worst, but look at the fact that the opposition, like you're known by your enemies. I don't think that was theater, Deanna, when the Republican-Jewish coalition booed him off the stage, and he speaks in euphemisms for now, the donors and what have you. One of the big tests for me will be, notice his inauguration, this here coming 5 months before the 50th anniversary of USS Liberty. That'll tell me a lot with his big push for the veterans. Could it be that he's leading up to do such a thing and what have you? I mean, he has proven to be a man that can take arrows from the organized Jewry at that. He does
but
not name them by name. I understand.
Are you aware of the fact that he released 6 days before the elections his 16 points on what he was going to do for Israel? Okay, hang on if you'd like. We're going to a quick 3-minute break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and we have caller. We were talking with the caller. We also have Gareth, my good friend and our co-host today. So, Ed, continue.
Yes, Deanna, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, keep in mind that Utah was just the site of the only three-way race in the country. We just had a CIA operation codenamed Evan McMullen.
Right.
And, yeah, so this was designed to bring down the known Republican state. Neighboring Wyoming just did almost 75%. Three-quarters of the vote went to Don Trump. Utah normally goes in those kind of numbers, 69 to almost 80% at times. This was definitely to take him out. And one last thing, and then I'll sit back and listen on the air to your 16 points. But our friend Michael Piper, he even cut slack, 8 years ago, to both Obama and then back in the 90s to some extent with some hope he had on Bill Clinton in them taking on the Israeli lobby, Deanna, in that they all kind of have to go and do a song and dance to AIPAC. I realize what you're saying here could be even more egregious in Mr. Trump's case, but he has to, at this point, sell out some of us. He's going to sell out us, Deanna, or he's going to sell out them. I'm hoping that he's going to try and free himself from his Jewish masters. We know where he got a lot of his money from, but he has earned himself as a billionaire, and I think this is the only hope we have. And I'm hoping that he's going to get the military on his side by exposing the USS Liberty. That's my hope.
Okay, we'll just see if he does. But
okay.
He was in debt. He was living beyond his means. He was spending his money on a lot of things that did not bring in money. He owed the bankers billions of dollars, just as Churchill was in debt. And before he had this debt, he thought Germany was doing a great job. He thought Hitler was doing a great job. And then all of a sudden, when the bankers came forward and said, "Hey, let us pay off your debt. We know this is troubling you. And all of a sudden he did flip-flop, okay, because they owned him. And, you know, you talked about the CIA doing things to disturb things, as they did in Utah. Well, in June 1954, during the Geneva conference, it was still in session, the CIA decided to create the Saigon Military Mission. And that was designed to go into Vietnam. They intended to execute political, psychological, and terrorist activities against the native population in the northern regions. They actually ended up taking 1 million people from the north and taking them down to the south to create problems, because people in the south and the people in the north were totally different people. Just like the people in the Middle East, you have refugees going from one country to another. They're not mixing well. And these SMM agents polluted petroleum supplies, sabotaged the railroad, tried to destroy the largest printing establishment in the north, bombed the post offices, wrote and distributed millions of anti-Viet Minh leaflets, and printed and distributed counterfeit money. And this was all to create deliberate inflation, which is what we have now here in this country. And John Foster Dulles said they were sent to raise hell, and that is exactly what they did. And then when the media reported on all these chaotic circumstances, just like they did in Iraq, I thought, well, gosh, they're just doing the same thing in Iraq that they did in Vietnam. They never changed their tactics. They always use the same tactics. But I don't know. I don't know whether that's relevant or not. But I'm just saying, yes, the CIA does do a lot of really awful things. And they were designed to do exactly what they're doing. They're not an intelligence operation. They are a terrorist making organization. So anyway.
Yes. Yes. Well, again, I'm predicating a lot of my dialogue here, Deanna, on hope. On the hope that, like I said, there is evidence. I don't think it was theater when the Jewish Republican Coalition booed him off the stage last December. He has to use euphemisms for now, Deanna, calling them the donor class, the people that would have manipulated Jeb Bush. But I'll say this. If he is trying to break loose from his Jewish masters, look of those 200 admirals and generals that stood behind him. I'm thinking that they figure, like the late Phyllis Schlafly maybe was thinking when she endorsed him and handed him Missouri in the primaries, in so doing. Maybe that they're saying, here's our man. Here's our chance to break from the Jewish-controlled media, and we'll stand by him. And when we open the eyes of the broader military to next June, the 50th anniversary of the Liberty, I think that could be a seminal event for him to make a move. And I'm hoping he has it in the plan, but just cannot reveal it at this time.
Okay. Well, time will tell.
Yes.
Time will tell. Well,
thank you for the airtime.
It's nice to talk with you again.
Good to talk to you, Deanna.
All righty. Take care. Any thoughts, Garris?
Well, as I was listening listening to your caller's comments, I was thinking to myself that one has to be almost schizophrenic to try to figure Trump out. I was thinking about the situation in the Middle East, where the United States, backed by Israel, went in and destroyed Libya, allowed thousands of refugees to pour into Europe. And then I think about the situation in the United States.
Allowed it
where
or provoked it? Provoked it.
Provoked it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Clinton says that, first of all, I think a person has to understand that the whole agenda from the Zionist point of view worldwide is to destroy every nation they can get their hands on. And the United States certainly tops the list.
Sure.
So Clinton wants to open the borders and allow 500% increase in refugees to come in here. On the other hand, Trump comes out and said he wants to build a wall, which I don't think is ever going to happen. And then he wants to get rid of the is supposedly unvetted Islamist out of the country. So that kind of works in reverse to what's really going on in the Mideast. So I'm not sure really what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, if they really wanted to destroy the United States by letting in all these refugees like they did in Europe, it would stand to reason that Clinton would have got elected so she could fulfill her plan. But yet Trump gets elected by, you know, closing off the borders and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure.
You know, those are kind of bullet points, I think. You know, he'd say these things, but I mean, seriously, he's going to build a wall? I don't think so. And I think that if the group that is backing him thought that he was going to do a flip-flop, they would have shot him. I don't know. Let's take another caller. Let's take Al in Minnesota. Al?
I was wondering the audio of the interview at the beginning of the show, how long ago that was recorded. And I was also wondering if it's true that Trump is the greatest friend that Israel had, I'm curious why neocons like Crystal and Krauthammer and all of the Jewish media tried so hard to work against Trump in favor of Hillary.
I don't know. I mean, Krauthammer, I'm not sure. But Russ, that interview was taken, it took place five days ago. Because it talks about the information that he released 6 days before the election. So this is very, very, very recent. And if you'd like the URL to that interview, I'd be happy to send it to you. Do you have another question?
The guy who I'd like to see get the URL to that interview is the guy on RBN that does the show, you know, tomorrow, the Trump phenomenon. He's very high on. I'd like for him to hear that interview. I mean, perhaps if that interview was only 5 or 6 days old, you know, the media just never became aware of it.
They never knew. He released his 16 points 6 days before the elections. Nobody was paying any attention, okay? That's the way they do it. If they want to release something that they don't want anybody to know about, they're going to do it on New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, the 4th of July, Friday night at, you know, midnight. If they don't want you to know about it, they're just going to release it at a time when people are busy. So anyway, thanks, Russ, for your phone call. Okay,
Forward Magazine posted it on their website with a date of November 12th.
Wow.
So Forward posted it on the internet on November 12th.
Right. Right. So it's very recent. I mean, it's 5 days ago is when they did the radio program. So anyway, let's take David in California. David? David, do we have David?
What? Trump information?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Where was the Trump information on your internet site?
Okay, if you visit Spingola.com, on the left-hand side, you will see a button, Radio Schedule, and just click on the Radio Schedule button, and then you will see the years. You can pick out the year, the month, and today's date, and you'll see all the links. And they've also been posting them in the chat room. But that's where they're at, Spingola.com, Radio Schedule. Just click on that Radio Schedule button. Okay? Or just send me an email, comment at spingola.email, and I can send you the link. Okay? All righty.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to my phone. It hung up in the middle of when I was talking to you, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It just went off. I don't know what's going on. But anyways, on your website, how do I find the Trump information? And I do want to say one thing after this.
Okay. You just click on Radio Schedule. On the left-hand side, there's a button, Radio Schedule, and then choose the appropriate year and the month, and you'll get all the
links. What's the appropriate year?
It's been 2016. It's 2016. It's Saturday, November 12th. And so you will choose 2016, and you will choose November, and you will choose today's date, and you'll get all those links.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I believe you because you do your research, but there is a lot of Jewish opposition. Like the ADL just went after them for making that. Did you see that 2 minute?
Have you ever
commercial?
Heard of orchestrated opposition?
Sure.
Orchestrated opposition really makes people defend the individual. Okay, and a lot of people are so hopeful. We are so hopeful that somebody's going to come along, you know, some kind of Superman, and save us from what is going on, that we hope that it will be this person or that person. And so, you know, we've been set up. We've been set up with this.
But look what happened with Syria. Look, I mean, I understand, but look what happened with Syria when Putin came in there and spoiled John Kerry's and Hillary's and
how do we know? What do you know about? What do you know about Syria? I mean, the U.S. military has been bombing various countries in the Middle East for a very long time, so that Israel can have the greater Israel. They want to control all of that area.
And it seemed like Trump was putting the monkey wrench in that when he was joining hands with Putin, because Putin was screwing up.
He never joined hands. He admitted he didn't know Putin from you know, Santa Claus, okay?
I know, but he was saying, I understand, but he said, listen, if Putin could get rid of ISIS, why be against him? He said that clearly.
But there's no such thing as ISIS. ISIS is a...
Oh, I know that.
They were created by the Mossad, by the CIA. So when he even mentions ISIS, you know, darn good and well that, you know, he's in on the gig. Okay.
Look, I believe you because I know you do more further research and you did. So I'm not going to reject you on that.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm doing the hope thing like the other caller did on, there's something might be in him that he didn't know. A lot of Christians, anything Israel does is right. When they find out how it goes into the one world government, he might wake up, is what we're hoping for. Just
sure.
Hope.
Sure. Okay well,
good.
Hey, thanks for calling back. Thank you for calling back. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kent in West Virginia. Kent?
Hi, Deanna.
Yeah, hi.
I think it's my theory is that my theory as it evolves as of today is that there's two competing forces. There's a team, all of them Zionists, of course, or to some extent Jewish controlled. And one was behind Hillary, and they were sort of the old guard. And I think Trump. Trump is sort of the new horse in the race, and they've switched horses, and Netanyahu and this guy Adelson. Adelson is behind Trump, and Adelson is behind Gingrich, and Gingrich is supposed to be the Secretary of State. And what they're going to do is they're going to move on Iran, which is, and the Clinton team was against, and I think what's revealed now is that WikiLeaks, I'm thinking now, is revealed to be a Mossad operation in the sense that it was used to sabotage Clinton in favor of Trump. And now what's playing out, I was called into several shows beforehand, Comey coming out just before the election. They knew the Clinton team and Bush was before, and you know, the old guard knew that the trending was going against Clinton.
I can't. We're going into a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. You can stay over if you'd like. Be right back. All righty. Welcome back. Okay. Marxist and Zionist have been fighting each other for ages. They're both the very same ethnic group. They just have a different way of attacking a situation. And meanwhile, they attack each other. So we can watch this tennis game. It's a political tennis game. Okay, Kent, continue.
Yeah, so my theory was, just before the election, that Comey came out with that, these new emails, was to lay the groundwork pre-election, because they knew their secret polls are telling them Trump was going to win. So he did that for the purpose of laying groundwork for a challenge. And now I'm reading a report just come out on RT that the Clinton team is claiming that Comey's letter in the last 11 days of the election both helped depress our turnout and drive critical support from college-educated white. We think Comey's second letter. So in other words, there's going to be a challenge, and there's two Bush lawyers that even before the election, the day of the election, filed documents, filed papers, official papers, a violation of the Hatch Act. And with these riots around the country, and then there's a movement to this electoral college to not vote for Trump, there's going to be a challenge, a legal challenge, on the basis of the violation of the Hatch Act and Comey to have the Electoral College sway their vote in favor of Clinton. And this isn't over yet. And it's two sides competing against one another. And, the old guard, Clinton's Bush, and the old, the establishment, American establishment, are... Comey's actions were, he was part of it. It's all a big plan. And then there's this Trump. He's got this Adelson guy and Netanyahu and this WikiLeaks. And it's, those two forces. And I think, it's not over. The election is not official until the Electoral College, votes. And they're laying the groundwork before the election now for a challenge. And it's all going to be based on Comey. The FBI, the FBI interfered in the election, and so that's what's coming down. It's right here. I'll send you the link. It just came up on the news today, and they're going to say, well, he came out and he tipped it, and they had all these polls. You can say the polls were inaccurate, and yes, probably they were, but they had all these polls showing Clinton with a lead. Two weeks ago, now all of a sudden it went south for her, and they say, well, what happened in the meantime? Well, the FBI came out and tipped it. So, it's all in play yet, I don't know exactly. We'll have to wait and see how it turns out, but that's the status of it right now.
Sure. Well, maybe the FBI made a deal with Clinton. I mean, Comey used to be the money man. He was the money launderer back in when the Clintons were running drugs in MENA, through MENA. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Talking about the elections, we're talking about the aftermath, and my co-host today is Gareth Thomas, a personal friend, a delightful, wonderful individual who I really, really appreciate. And we were talking with Kent. You know, we don't know what kind of deals these guys make. I mean, one time in one debate, Trump said something about investigating investigating Clinton with her email scandal. So we have no idea what they've decided to do. Seriously. Okay. Let's move on with to Jerry in California. Jerry?
Yeah, hi, Deanna. How are you tonight?
Good. And you?
I'm wondering, who will you even identify who you voted for? How could you have voted for Hillary?
I didn't.
You sound like you did.
I'm sorry if I sound that way, because, I wasn't going to vote, but yeah. I was stupid. I was very stupid, and I was, we think, oh, we got to vote for the lesser of the two evils. I haven't voted for a long time. It's an illusion. We have the illusion that we get to choose. Well, who the heck chose these two scoundrels to begin with? So I thought, okay, I'm going to go vote. I'm going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. And then I discovered that they're both bad. Bad.
The thing is, Deanna, the lesser of two evils, there is no such thing as a righteous person. I'd like to know who it would have been. We've never had a president that was that way. So how can you bring this evil stuff into it? Because they're not preachers, and even preachers aren't righteous. None of them are. If they don't keep the commandments and the laws, they're not righteous.
Well, of course. Nobody's perfect.
How many people, So that shouldn't even be brought into it. And then I think it's too premature. He's not even in there yet. He's only looked at the White House one day, and another day is today. And give the guy a little chance, man.
Okay, shall we read? I'm going to read some of the 16 points that he created.
How do you know he created that? How do you know?
Because
how do you know that the news
just,
media didn't blast that out of you?
Hey, because it's on his website.
Okay, well, that could have been true. But here's the thing, Deanna. James Kelso, that's on RBA, knows this man. He went to college with him. He's known him for 40 years, and he says he's very honorable. He's a super guy.
Great.
He's, like, incredible.
Great.
He'll be on tomorrow at 2 to 5 on RBN, and he's on every night at 8 o'clock. You ought to listen to him.
Okay. Well, thank you for your phone call.
Why go and cause dissension when you don't even know what you're talking about yet?
I think I do know what I'm talking about. When he comes out 6 days before the election and creates 16 points, 16 promises to Israel, I mean, what's he making promises to Israel for? If he's going to be our president, he needs to worry about this country, not what he can do for Israel. So, anyway, thanks. Okay. Maybe we should share some of these points.
Deanna?
Yes.
I was just going to say, I think his slogan should have been, make Israel great again. Because really, when you look at those points, that's exactly what's going on here.
Exactly. I want to start with number eight, and then I'll backtrack. The U.S. should view the effort to boycott, divest from, and sanction Israel as inherently anti-Semitic and take strong measures, both diplomatic and legislative, to thwart actions that are intended to limit commercial relations with Israel or persons or entities doing business in Israeli areas in a discriminatory manner. The BDS movement is just another attempt by the Palestinians to avoid having to commit to a peaceful coexistence with Israel. The false notion that Israel is an occupier should be rejected. Number nine, the Trump administration will ask the Justice Department to investigate coordinated attempts on college campuses to intimidate students who support Israel. Now these are promises that he's made. He starts out number one. The unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel is based upon shared values of democracy, freedom of speech, respect for minorities, cherishing life, and the opportunity for all citizens to pursue their dreams. Number two, Israel is the state of the Jewish people who have lived in that land for 3,500 years. That is a lie. As I mentioned before, they have no ethnic connection whatsoever to Palestine. They are Khazars. The Jews that call themselves Jews are not Jewish. Okay? They're Khazars. So, and he goes on in number two. The state of Israel was founded with courage and determination by great men and women against enormous odds and is an inspiration to people everywhere who value freedom and human dignity. It was found on the blood of the Palestinians. And I know some Palestinians who were forced from their homes. Excuse me. Number three, Israel is a staunch ally of the U.S. and a key partner in the global war against Islamic jihadism. Excuse me. Military cooperation and coordination between Israel and the U.S. must continue to grow. That means that's just another way of saying we've got to keep giving Israel more money. What do you
think? It also means too that that the U.S. will do the fighting while Israel continues to build its walls and cordon itself off from the rest of the world and kill Palestinians. That's what it means.
Right, right. Exactly.
By the way, that that point, those points were written by a guy named David Israel, who put that out on JewishPress.com, so all you have to do is you can go there and look for them too.
Exactly, right. But this is something that was on Trump's website. These are his points. And, excuse me, David Israel just reposted them, correct?
Yes.
All righty. I'm going to post these points in the chat room. Okay. All righty.
Also, speaking of, you know, when you mentioned before about Jews being Khazars, all one has to do, if you want to look at a real Semite, Just put a Palestinian up against a picture of Netanyahu, and you'll see the difference. I mean, it'd be really obvious that these people are not Semitic. This Jason Greenblatt, who's a co-chairman of the Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump, you take a look at his mug. He could be a German, he could be anything, but he certainly isn't Semitic by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly. Right. And there's plenty of evidence to prove what we've just been talking about the Khazars. And okay, let's see. We have Linda in Ohio. Linda?
Oh, hi, Deanna. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Deanna, what's
yes.
Putin's role in this? Maybe you answered it already, but I might have missed it going back and forth to make supper.
What is Israel's role in
no,
what?
What is Putin's role in this?
Oh,
is he?
I don't know that he has a role. I don't know what role he would have, if he has any. In the elections, you mean?
Is he a player too? Or, I mean, people on some sides are saying that, you know, he has promoted a Christian nation in Russia and, people really admire him. Is he just a player also? Do you happen to know?
Yes, yes, he is, and he is very friendly towards the Jews, very friendly toward Israel, and I've done some programs on him, And I also have a friend in Russia that we correspond. I haven't talked with him recently. But it's Russia's no different than the United States. The same ethnic group controls things there in the very same way that they do here.
Amazing.
When you look at when the Soviet Union fell and the vultures that went in and grabbed up businesses and took over resources there, it's the same people. It's no different.
Wow. Thank you so much. You cleared so much up for me. My gosh, this was so confusing. Thank you, Deanna.
Well, thank you. Gareth, wouldn't you agree with what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really have anything to add to it because I think he hit the nail on the head.
Okay. excuse me. All righty. Number five. I think it was on number five. The Memorandum of Understanding signed by the American and Israeli governments is a good first step, but there is much more to be done. A Trump administration will ensure that Israel receives maximum military, strategic, and tactical cooperation from the United States. And the MOU will not limit the support that we give. Further, Congress will not be limited to give support greater than that provided by the MOU if it chooses to do so. Israel and the United States benefit tremendously from what each country brings to the table. Excuse me. The relationship is a two-way street. I don't know about that. Seems to me that it's a one-way street. Seems like we've been given and given and given and given, including all the lives, and you mentioned this before, all the lives that were lost on the USS Liberty. When the Israelis bombed the USS Liberty, June 8th, 1967. They wanted that ship to go down. And the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, said that that's exactly what he wanted to happen. And I'm not going to repeat what he said, but he said, I want that ship on the bottom of the sea. So we've always been the giver, and they've always been the benefactor. Number six, the U.S. should veto any United Nations votes that unfairly single out Israel and will work in international institutions and forums, including in our relations with the European Union, to oppose efforts to delegitimize Israel, impose discriminatory double standards against Israel, or to impose special labeling requirements on Israeli products or boycotts on Israeli goods. Number seven, the U.S. should cut off funds to the U.N. Human Rights Council, a body dominated by countries presently run by dictatorships that's a bunch of baloney, that seems solely devoted to slandering the Jewish state. UNESCO's attempt to disconnect the state of Israel from Jerusalem is a one-sided attempt to ignore Israel's 3,000-year bond to its capital city and is further evidence of the enormous anti-Israel bias of the United Nations. That is not true. Okay, I've already said number eight. Number nine. I did number nine, too. Okay, do I have another caller? Okay. Number 10. A two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians appears impossible as long as the Palestinians are unwilling to renounce violence against Israel or recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. They throw rocks. You have little kids throwing rocks at Palestinians while the Israelis are dropping bombs.
Yeah, that's absolutely laughable when I read that. What hypocrisy. What gall to put out a statement like that.
Yeah, there's some noise in the background, like somebody's got a radio on. That is ludicrous. Additionally, the Palestinians are divided between Palestinian PA authority rule in the West Bank and Hamas rule in Gaza, so there is not a united Palestinian people who could control a second state. Hamas is a U.S.-designated terrorist organization that actively seeks Israel's destruction. Actually, Hamas was created by Israel. We will seek to assist the Israelis and the Palestinians in reaching a comprehensive and lasting peace to be freely and fairly negotiated between those living in the region. The Palestinians aren't living there. They're existing there. They've had their water shut off. anybody that attempts to help them is turned away. They aren't living. They are simply surviving. And many of them aren't. And I'm sure that most of the listeners have seen the pictures of these little Palestinian kids, that are dead. In fact, I recently saw a photo of a woman. She was a pregnant woman, and the person that shot her, the Israeli that shot her, said, that was a two for one, because it obviously killed the baby as well as the woman, the pregnant woman. It's very sad. Let's take Caesar in New York. Caesar?
Yeah, Diana, good evening. How are you today?
I'm fine. We haven't talked for a long time.
Yeah, we haven't. Diana, real quick, I'll make it short and sweet. Have you noticed Trump throwing the Illuminati signals with his hands constantly? The 666, the two-horned god, Satan, and the between his legs, he'd been throwing a lot of Illuminati signs. Also, the pyramid over the eyes. Have you noticed that by any chance?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Right, he's been throwing a lot of Illuminati symbolism. You ever seen when he's talking, like at 2:41 in the morning, I went to the laundromat, I was doing wash, and he came on the stage and he said that Secretary Hillary called him whatever. He was a circle with his thumb and his, finger, and with the middle finger, the ring finger, and the, pinky, he was doing the 666s, and he had the index in a circle.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
I've heard that spoken of, the only thing I've really ever noticed was when he's talking, he has his first finger turned in. I don't know what that means, whether that's just a habit or whether that's some kind of a sign, but I honestly haven't seen him do with the other ones. I'm certainly not debating the fact that your listener hasn't seen that. But I've often noticed that he turns that first finger in. I don't know if that means anything.
Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Alrighty, we are back. We are back, and we were talking with Caesar. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I'm still here, Diane.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Diana,
now that sign also means okay. So we have to, keep that in mind.
Diana, did you see what he said about Obamacare, that he wasn't going to repeal it, that he was going to keep parts of it, that he liked it? Did you see how he sat down with Barry Sotero and he spoke, where before he had the money out to prove that he wasn't born here, he was going to give the money away? Remember that thing he had? That if you could prove that he was, the birth certificate was remember that?
Yes.
He went away from that, as far as Secretary Hillary, him going, you know, after her, it seems like that all, it seems like everything is on the 360 already.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, the healthcare situation, I mean, Hillary Clinton attempted to implement one back in, during her husband's administration. And, so, I mean, that's been in the works for quite some time. I really don't think that they're going to do anything about that. I don't think he's going to do anything about that. I think that he used that, just to get people hopeful that, yes, he was going to do something different. But I really don't think that that is the case.
Diana, do you watch wrestling?
No. Heavens no.
Okay, because politics is like wrestling. You agree with, at least we agree on that, right?
Yeah, it's all fake.
Yeah, it's all staged. It's all a dog and pony show. It's all smoke and mirrors. Look, today they had on Fifth Avenue, I couldn't even drive by there, 25,000 protesters, and at 2 in the morning they had protesters out there with signs. Who would be out at 2 in the morning protesting Trump unless you're a paid provocateur? You're going to be home sleeping at that hour. You're not going to be out there in the freezing cold.
Of course. Of course.
Listen, I didn't vote, and I did go to vote, and I saw the illegals. I saw what I saw, and I said, you know what? I don't like any of the two candidates. I said, I don't want to commit fraud. I said, you know what? Let me leave, because we don't elect anyone. They're all selected. And if you recall on The Simpsons 15 years ago, Trump's presidency was announced on The Simpsons, and that's Illuminati pre-predicted programming. You've got to watch, because they tell us that they're going to do it, but you got to be able to see it. You follow me?
Oh, okay. I don't watch Simpsons either, but, yeah, I mean,
Google it. Google The Simpsons and Trump's presidency, and you'll see it going 15 years back that they had him as being president. So that's the pre-predictive programming that the Illuminati use. They have to tell us they're going to do it before they do it. They tell us they're going to do it. We just got to be able to read in between the lines. I only know the signal because I was a grand master of masonry, okay, back in 82, okay, on 14th Street, all right? I was a Rosicrucian. I was a Jack de Molloy, all right? And I was with the Masons. So I know when I see this, I know because, you know, it's like, you know, you're a gang member, you know the gang signals. It's the same thing with the secret societies. And remember that the only guy that thought he was president was Kennedy. He stood up, he gave the best speech that I've ever heard to the secret societies. And if you go back to 1963, it's actually fast forward what is taking place today here in the States, word for word of what he said. On key, on point. He was killed 1 week after in Dealey Square, and look how he wound up with a bullet in his head. So these people control everything. These guys up there, they're nothing but puppets, okay? They step out of line, they wind up like Kennedy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, thank you. And he did say that there would be no change at the last minute, so we're not going to interchange. Thank you so much.
Correct. Thank you.
All right. Okay, we were on number 11. Number 13, the U.S. cannot support the creation of a new state where terrorism is financially incentivized. Terrorists are celebrated by political parties and government institutions, and the corrupt diversion of foreign aid is rampant. The U.S. should not support the creation of a state that forbids the presence of Christian or Jewish citizens, or that discriminates against people on the basis of religion. Well, you know,
that's an interesting point from the from the standpoint that if you look back in history, back to just prior to the creation of the Israeli state back in 1948, interviews.
Yeah. Okay, we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. Be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And let me just clarify a couple of things. Trump said that he would keep the pre-existing conditions and the opportunity for children to remain on their parents' health care as, you know, up till the age of 30. He said that a long time ago. It was not a change that was made at the last minute after he talked with Obama. And the other thing is that the American Newspaper Publishers Association talk that JFK gave occurred on April 27th, 1961. It was not 1 week before he was assassinated. Thank you very much, Mark, for giving us that information. Okay. Okay. Speak of the devil. Mark in Florida. Mark?
Good day, and I have a few different points I'd like to bring up, which is, number one, Hillary will probably win the popular vote by upwards of 2 million. This has never happened before, nowhere near ever happened before. With this ammunition, the people behind the scenes behind her will probably go all out to try to take the Electoral College votes away from from certain people in certain states. There is no federal mandate that makes you have to vote for the electors that you're supposed to vote for. If your state wins it in 48 out of the 50 states, Maine and Nebraska split them by congressional. So you can, they can change their vote, and there's no ramification except they'll be thrown out of their party, which if they're being paid off, that's so be it. Another thing, I've looked at the Arizona finally went and declared, and it took them like 3 days, but Michigan and New Hampshire are still out. They haven't, and their numbers haven't moved in 2 days or 2.5 days, which is really very, very strange. And concerning Trump, as you well know, Deanna, I'm from New York City, and you can't get anywhere, meaning him, to do what he did in New York City without being totally controlled by the Jewish influence and money that certainly controls New York City and our whole country and most of the planet, for that matter. So it's, and one thing that you'll see with Trump, I've looked at who he's thinking about putting in his cabinet, and I go right to the Secretary of Treasury because most of your listeners probably know the last, I don't know how many Secretaries of Treasury have all been Jewish.
Right.
So, and the names that he's throwing about are all Jewish. So it's a telltale sign of what will be coming down the pike for us. You know, there's you know, a lot of, I've heard a lot of, I missed the first hour because I was doing some research and I got caught up, but a lot of people are hoping with Trump, and I understand it. You know, he seems like he has the right rhetoric and talk, and people are sick and tired of the, you know, the Bush-Clinton kind of machine. And so, you know, anything but the devil, you know. And so I understand why people would want to vote for him and have hope. And, you know, listen, I think it's most likely misguided. But like I said, we know what we're going to get with Hillary. So you might as well roll the dice, you know, in a certain way to see if this man will change. But we all know what happens when he steps out of bounds. Like, he doesn't make a Jewish person Secretary of Treasury. That will send the signal of all signals to his owners, and, you know, he might get it. He may get a November 22nd, 1963 incident or
a Nixonite. They might Nixonite him.
Or that, right. I mean, there's many ways that they could ruin him, yes.
Sure.
So, and they have the press to do it with, so. And but look out from now till December 19th, you know, in this Electoral College. because they're going to bring this up when all the votes are counted. There'll be around 2 million votes or just shy of that for Hillary as the winner. And they're not going to let go of that. They haven't grabbed onto this yet. And the election, you know, we don't vote for the people, the electorals. And they go into their each house on December 19th and go in to a joint session in Congress on January 6th and actually present, each state presents their what the delegates voted on the 19th in each individual state. So,
right.
For both the president and the vice president, actually. So.
Yes, we do not directly elect our president in this country.
One of the very few countries in the world that doesn't.
Right.
And so that's my sort of two cents. I mean, like I said, I'm from New York, and I, you know, I know all about Donald Trump's prior history and what he's done there, and it's beyond horrendous. So with the money situation, yes, he was not dealing good with his own money. And from what I've gathered, I haven't looked into this in depth, but I remember just recalling it. He had to get bailed out.
Right. So as Churchill was bailed out.
Exactly. I heard you say that earlier, and that's exactly very similar circumstances. Yes. Although Churchill was more of a, you know, wounded.
Well, he was a politician, whereas Trump, we look at him as an outsider, and he's a businessman, and we think, oh, he's done all these business things, and but gosh.
Yeah, look who I had next to me. I had Chris Christie next to him and Rudolph Giuliani. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the choices that he's made for his the people he's bringing in. I mean, they're all politicians who have cooperated and collaborated with each other for warfare and everything else. So we're just he's only one person.
Yes, it doesn't look good. And like I said, the litmus test for me would be the Secretary of Treasury. And,
right.
And that will tell everything. But, you know, you never know. If there is an outside chance, be it very slim, that you have to play this game for him
right.
to. He has the Congress, the House, the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court as soon as he makes
right.
a decision. So he has the whole table. He
Maybe
can do it.
Maybe put Hillary on the Supreme Court. Oh, gosh.
Thank you for making me laugh.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Or Bill. Maybe Bill.
Maybe they'll put it, yeah. Maybe Bill.
Yeah. Or maybe another Jewish person, because we don't have enough Jewish people on the Supreme Court.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
enough.
So anyway,
right.
that's my two cents for what's going on. And these protests, I don't know if they're going to stop or Soros will be pouring more money into, because the whole media are, you know, it was on my Google News, it was the top story for a while now, a couple of days.
Right.
And it's right there. And so they will be pumping it up. But they haven't really mentioned this 2 million, because the numbers aren't in. She's only, I don't know, 600,000 ahead right now, but she will be around 2 million. And when
wow.
when it gets over a million, you're going to start hearing about it, and rightly so in a certain way. It's,
sure.
I was always said the Electoral College is here to make sure nobody that they don't want to get in won't get in. It's the last, hurdle.
Exactly.
You know, so it's, and they haven't had to use that sort of Trump card yet, but maybe they will on Trump. Who knows? I don't know.
Yes. Funny. You're funny. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye.
No, you know, Deanna, there's a couple of points that have been just totally ignored throughout all of this campaigning and rhetoric and everything by Trump, and I can't recall any of your callers mentioning it. We haven't talked about it at all, and that is this $20 trillion debt and the Fed and the relationship of those two with our failing economy. We don't have control over, the American people do not have control over our economy. The Fed keeps pouring out worthless script called money of which we have to pay interest on. Trump will not do anything about that. The debt ceiling will continue to rise. The Fed will keep pouring out more and more money, and nothing will be done about that. Now, Trump talks about lowering the interest rate for the middle class the taxes for the middle class and also taxes on corporations, supposedly to stimulate the economy. But two factors that are left unsaid is what's really happening to the economy is in direct proportion to what the Fed does. And the Fed, of course, has always been controlled by Zionist Jews. And so they control the purse strings of the United States government. And Trump will be able to do absolutely nothing about that. That way, this economy will eventually implode, and we will be worse off than we are right now.
Right.
I see a total economic collapse coming in the not too distant future, no matter who's elected.
Right.
And that's the whole purpose, is to basically destroy the financial infrastructure of this country.
And the regular infrastructure, if you look around, I mean, our bridges are crumbling. They've outsourced all the production with NAFTA under George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Clinton and Hillary. NAFTA, I mean, all the jobs went. So your country is only as good as what it can produce. And we're not producing anything. Everything's made in China.
Well, that's true, but nevertheless, we don't have, and we haven't had for ever since 1913,
mm-hmm.
with the 16. Creation of the Federal Reserve, we haven't had a stable currency in this country.
Right.
Now, I think there was a point, and of course, Roosevelt, FDR, did away with the gold standard and started issuing silver certificates. Kennedy made an attempt to reinstate, which I think was part of that whole process that happened over his short tenure as president, that and his failure to, you know, to provide Israel with everything that they wanted in terms of arms. But the other point was Kennedy's push to try to either disavow the Fed or at least start having the government print its own currency, which is actually the way we're supposed to have it done anyway.
Right, right.
And
well,
therefore,
Nixon wanted to do something of the same sort, and they, you know, booted him out. They got rid of him.
Yeah, that's true. But we're never going to have a stable economy as long as the Fed is still in operation. So everything
sure.
will go back to that.
Sure.
Our currency is absolutely worthless. Our interest, the debt ceiling will just continue to rise. Trump will not be able, in fact, no one would be able to do anything about that. Every time it's tried, the person gets killed, run out of office, or whatever.
Sure.
So it'll go on and on and on.
Right. You know, we have another caller, another person by the name of Mark, in Philadelphia. Mark?
Hello, Deanna, and hello
Hi.
To your guest. I it's a long time since I've called in. What I see happening, yes, Trump to me is still, I'm still suspicious, but he's the choice, I guess. But, and with him having Giuliani on his crew there, that's why I'm very highly suspicious. Giuliani
yes.
was the main guy that covered up hauling
yes.
away all the evidence and covered up, you know, basically violated the crime scene. And, he made sure that was all taken away in the lickety split, right? So anyway, my sense of what's going on with we the people has been, it's a psychological technique. And I'm not just saying this word just to impress you with this word, but it really is a technique, and it's called mesmerization. And what you, and it's a technique of basically what you do is you get people to suspend their reason and you put them basically in a state of suspended animation where they don't know. They've lost their reference points. They don't know right from wrong, up from down, and, you know, they're just, you might say they're kind of in a zombie state. So, And it can happen even to the best of us because, I mean, now this could be, I mean, see, Trump is saying all the right things, but, what if this is just another technique and he's gonna slam, you know, body slam us? I don't know. I'm hoping for the best, but anyway, I want to leave you with this. Being that it was Veterans Day yesterday, I don't know if you've seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, but I highly encourage you and as well as mainly the men in your audience to go and if you have another male in your family, your father, your grandfather, your son or whatever, take them with you and go watch Hacksaw Ridge because there are several messages in that movie and it's about war and it's about what war does to men and what war does to families. It's very impactful. And it's very meaningful, and Mel Gibson's a genius for how he put it together. And, I mean, it's based on a true story of a man who didn't want to pick up a firearm during a war situation. So, anyway, I encourage people to go see that movie. It's very, very moving, and it's by Mel Gibson. I'm telling you, he's got some messages in there. So, anyway, thank you, Deanna, for being there, and let's hope for the best. I appreciate you slicing the onion here for us because you are right on, and I've already went to your links, and it's a very daring challenge that we're in right now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark. All righty. We're going to go to a break momentarily here, but we do have John in Arlington, so we'll bring John on to say hi, and then we're going to go right to the break. John, welcome. Stay over with us over the break. We'll be right back, okay?
Hello.
Hello, this is John.
Hi, John. I don't know what...
Did I get cut off?
No, I don't. You must have. I can hear you. I don't think Deanna can, though, which is kind of odd.
I got disconnected.
Okay, all right, why don't you hold on the line and maybe the engineer can get you reconnected again.
Okay.
Did you want to make a comment in the meantime?
Yeah. I want to say what is needed, you know, in terms of monetary reform is first of all to abolish the right of the federal government to borrow money. Second, so no more national debt. Second, what we need to do is to abolish the privately owned Federal Reserve and replace it with a publicly owned central monetary authority or central bank which issues money debt-free and backed strictly by what? Not backed by any commodity or anything else other than the full faith and credit of the federal government. Third, we need to abolish fractional reserve lending. Only the... Yeah, just a minute.
I don't know.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on either. I can't hear Deanna. I think maybe we both got cut off.
I can hear myself over the being broadcast over the internet.
Okay. Yeah, and the thing of it is that the program is coming to an end. It's 3 minutes to seven or 3 minutes to six. And, so I'm not sure what happened, but your points are well taken. And but of course you realize that that's just not going to happen. The people that have tried, the presidents who have tried to make that happen, have been assassinated or just simply run out of office one way or the other.